All right. Good morning. Welcome. Glad you're here this morning. We are in the Sermon on the Mount. And when I mean the Sermon on the Mount, we're in chapter 6. We're just taking it nice and slow, doing a chapter each year. So this season, we are in chapter 6. And we'd encourage you to read it through, especially chapter 6, so you know, oh, that's where we're going this week. That's the things that we are talking about. So remember, this is what we ended with last week. And it was all last week about life in the kingdom. That's chapter 6. We remember we're talking about acts of righteousness. Now, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, you don't do acts of righteousness to get in the kingdom. I always want to make sure people understand that. When you're in the kingdom, that's when we do acts of righteousness because of our relationship with the king. We want to do things out of a heart motivated to honor Christ, and we find our ultimate reward in him. Remember, we ran last week into the actors. We'll run into them again this week, who are putting on a show, and Jesus looks and says, they already got their reward. You got exactly what you wanted. Everybody was impressed with you. Wow, look at what they give. Aren't they impressive? You got your gift. You got your reward. Don't expect one from your Heavenly Father, because that's not what motivated you to do what you did. So we want to make sure that's just clear and that you understand the order of acts of righteousness. And once we're in the kingdom, we have a relationship with the king. Jesus is our Savior. Man, acts of righteousness, that ought to be the motivation in the, out of our lives. Everything we do for the heart, for we love our king, and everything we do is for Jesus. And so, remember, this is an exhaustive list. Jesus is just talking about three things: giving, prayer this week and next week, and then fasting we'll look at the week after that. Those are the only three he's talking about here, but there are lots of others that are the righteous works that we have been called to do as Christ followers, as part of the kingdom. So, here we go. Today, we're going to be in verses 5 through 8 of chapter 6. That's where we're going to find ourselves. Next week is going to be the section that probably most of you are familiar with in the Lord's Prayer. That's going to be next week, and we're going to look at this week what he's talking about with the actors and things we need to avoid when we're praying. So here we go. Whenever you pray, so you should be praying, just bringing that up, do not be like the hypocrites, the actors, because they love to pray while standing in the synagogues and on street corners so that people can see them. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. So just a couple of context issues so that we understand what's going on. It was an honor to be asked to pray in synagogue. And what happened is, because I'm just telling you, in the world that Jesus lived, first century, men were the ones that were praying in the synagogue, okay? Women were not allowed to pray. And I don't know how it is, you know, it's just like drilled into our DNA. When you get two guys together doing the same thing, you're going to get competition. So this is the way I kind of look at it, that what was going on in the synagogue was, you know, Bob over here prayed one week, and man, everybody's like, wow, man, to be like Bob, that was incredible. That was just wonderful. That was awesome. And so, you know what all the guys are hearing? Bob's prayer was awesome. And they're thinking, man, if I get asked next week, I'm going to beat Bob, okay? That's what was going on, okay? It wasn't a heart motivated to where I'm going to pray. There was a lot of show going on in the synagogue because it was an honor. It was an honor to be asked by the rabbi to stand and pray. It was an honor. And so to get that honor, you know, it got out of hand. There's other things tend to at times get out of hand with our sin nature. That's one of the places it got out of hand. So what about the street corners? Do you know there was times during the day when they would pray? Now, we see this in the book of Daniel. Remember, when they went after Daniel, they said, gosh, we can't find anything against this guy. We need to find something against the God he serves, and we need to make a rule against that because then we'll trap him. And so what did Daniel, we're told he did three times a day. He prayed with his face towards Jerusalem because that was a rhythm he was in, and that's a rhythm that continued, this prayer. And so there are people, and we'll call them the actors here in a moment, they wanted to be in the most popular places when those time of the day came. So everybody, you know, I just happened to be in the most busy intersection in all Jerusalem. Oh, look at that. It's time to pray and face the temple, okay? That's what would happen. Again, it became about a show, and that's what you need to know, that they would, that those were those times of prayer that would force them to really seek God. And that's what it was supposed to be all about. But, as we saw last week, actors want to be seen. They want to put on a show. okay? Nobody hires Tom Cruise and says, just stand in the background. We don't need you in this, okay? Nobody does that. Nobody pays him millions upon millions of dollars to be Maverick and say, by the way, Maverick, we're going to kill you off about 2 minutes into the show, make everybody mad. No, they don't do that, right? They don't do that. They make you think they're going to do that, okay? They might pull you into the show, but not going to do that. Why? Because he's Tom Cruise. And the more we get him on screen, the more tickets we'll sell, and the more people want to go, okay? Just to replace that with any actor or actress you love, they want to be seen. They want to put on a show. And the issue here is don't let that sneak into your prayer life. Don't let that become part of your prayer life that you are putting on a show. And again, if you're only in it for the show, you got what you really wanted. You got the impression from people around you. Wow, that person's spiritual. Wow, that person really knows how to pray. Wow, that person really must be close to God. Nobody could, I mean, somebody's got to be really close to God if they pray like that. So that's what would happen. That's what would take place. And Jesus is like, you already got your reward. Don't expect your Heavenly Father to do anything because you're not praying to have a heart towards Him, to share what's going on, to pray, in their case, for their nation, for Jerusalem. That's not why you're doing it. You're doing it for a show. You got what you really wanted. But then he tells us something else. But whenever you do pray, and this is going to be important to understand what in the world he's talking about. But whenever you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So this is the idea, and some of your translations will pick this up, of a prayer closet. Now, War Room, if you ever saw that movie, they did a wonderful job depicting the idea of having a place, having lists, right? What am I praying for? Of being very specific in prayer. But that's not what it's talking about. Just so we understand a little bit of context, closets did not exist in the ancient world, okay? It didn't. Martha, who cleaned her house, did not have a vacuum cleaner in a closet somewhere. They didn't, okay? They didn't have the luxury of we do of having them, and aren't they great places to throw everything possible into? And that, by the way, that's the first place you should look when you lose anything because it's probably in the closet. Could you just throw it in there because I got to get this out of the way. That's what we do. They did not have a closet. In fact, the first place that even started the idea of a closet were the Roman soldiers who had all their weaponry and came home with it. And so they had to find a way to store that. And ultimately, down the road is where we get our word for armoire that comes out of the French, out of that whole idea. Okay, but they didn't have a closet. They didn't have a place where they stored the broom. I want you to see what it means when it says go into your prayer closet, because simply, everybody's going to know what you're doing. This is a tallit, okay? That's what the Jewish people call this. Some people call it a talis, okay? And by the way, you know, I borrowed one from my friend last time I had one up here, and then I found out I could buy one on Amazon. Do you know you can buy anything on Amazon? You can even buy a tallit. That's just absolutely amazing to me, okay? This is a messianic one, which means that the scriptures, and actually post scriptures in the corner, on one side, on one corner is going to be a prophecy, and the other corner is going to be that fulfilled in the New Testament scripture. So you will find this all in the Old Testament, this idea of having tassels, and these tassels mean things so that you would remember the books of the law. It's all about meaning something, okay? So when it says that the woman came to Jesus, simply wanted to touch the hem of his garment, this is what she was going to touch, the tassels. There's a reason she wanted to touch the tassels, okay? It wasn't just, oh, if I need to touch his tassels. Because, and we sing this every Christmas, when we sing the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it's a prophecy out of the book of Malachi that Messiah will come, he's the Son of Righteousness, and he will have healing in his wings. I know it's a weird translation, but that's what wings meant. So there's another scripture too where it says people just wanted to touch this because of the promise that if he really is the Messiah, there's healing here because of who he is. I just need to touch this and there is healing. So this is a tallit. In fact, let me give you a picture. You will see them today. These are a little bit more elaborate ones. This is the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. Okay, it is very clear what you're doing at the Wailing Wall. You are praying. That's what you're doing. You are praying at that wall. So, what it meant by a prayer closet is you would take your tallit, okay, and you would put it around. And when you would go into your prayer closet, and I hope I do this right, okay? I watched a couple people do this, okay? So you know, everybody's going to know what you're doing. This is your prayer closet. Okay, does everybody know what you're doing? Yes. Who's the only person that really knows what you're doing? You and God. You and God, that's it. Because everybody else can see, oh, they're praying. Oh, they're praying. They must be a spiritual person or something. No, okay? That's, everybody knew that you were praying. Everybody knew. What God and you only know is what were you really doing. You're like, oh, if I do this, everybody's going to look and go, oh, there's a spiritual guy. I mean, there's a spiritual guy. He's got his tallit. He's in his prayer closet. That's impressive. Wow, okay. I better just respect him. When the whole time he just might be, man, I'm putting on a good show, aren't I, okay? He's not praying. He is not doing anything towards his Heavenly Father. He's just putting on a nice show. That's the idea of a prayer closet. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Now, do I love all our modern adaptations of that? Yes. But I want you to understand what was going on. People could see what was happening. People could see. But remember, people see. But we aren't praying to put on a show, but to share our heart with the King. That's what I want to get you to understand over and over again. Yeah, there's going to be times where people know you're praying. They're going to know you're praying. Okay? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it to be impressive? Are you doing it to all the people in McDonald's goes, wow, look at those people over there praying. That's, wow. We don't see that anymore. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Because Jesus is constantly going after the heart, going after the inner, going after what nobody else can see, your motivation of what you're doing and why you're doing it. That's what he's constantly going after. So before he says you're putting on a show, yeah, but what's your heart? But what's going on in here? Is it just a show? Is it just I'm going to put together and stream together some nice words so people think I must be close to God? Or am I really just sharing my heart with my Heavenly Father? What am I doing when I enter those times of prayer? Because people can see, but we don't do it for a show. We put it to share our hearts. There's one more thing he talks about. When you pray, do not babble repetitiously like the Gentiles, because they think that by their many words, they will be heard. So I want to give you two examples of this in the scripture. They're obviously just saying stuff over and over again. Maybe you could say a chant. Maybe you could say they're doing things because they think that all the repetition and all the words, oh, that's how I'm heard, okay? So I want to give you two examples. The first one comes from 1 Kings. This is the big battle on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And now everybody kind of has an opinion what they think, but I just want you to see this. They invoke the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Baal, answer us. From morning till noon, they said three words over and over and over again for hours. And in fact, it said they went past noon, okay, and went into midday. Baal answers, but there was no sound and no answer. There was nothing. Hours and hours and hours. In fact, it might be, if you have a study Bible, might cross-reference back to this scene. That's all they're doing. Baal answer us. Baal, can you imagine that? Over and over again. And by the way, just so you know, Elijah gets to a point where he just decides, I'm going to have fun with these people, okay? I'm going to have fun with these people. Hey, I don't think your God heard you, okay? They've been doing this for hours, okay? I think you ought to be loud. Maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's in the bathroom, okay? I mean, he just mocks them, okay, relentlessly until they're finally done, and it says it was time for the time of the offering. That's a specific time. And they went on and on. They cut themselves, doing all these things, and Elijah's like, get out of the way. Okay, now you're done. Get out of the way. He offers a simple prayer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and bam. And let me tell you, did people respond? Because they're like, wow, you guys went for hours and hours and hours. and God shows up, and it's instant, and it's, woo, you cannot mistake when God shows up. And so he's saying, don't be like them. That's one example. The second one happens after Jesus. It's in the book of Acts, okay? But when they recognize that he was a Jew, this is where Paul is in Ephesus, they all shouted in unison, great is Artemis of the Ephesians, for about 2 hours. Oh my goodness. Like, why would you be sucking it? 2 hours of that. Why? Because if we keep saying it over and over again, certainly Artemis of the Ephesians, Artemis is going to do something. Artemis is going to act. Artemis is going to do whatever Artemis is supposed to do. And that's what happens with pagan gods. It's a lot of repetition, a lot of incantation. Maybe if I say the right thing and I say it over and over and over again, the gods will just get tired of me pleading, right? Like your toddler did, and just give me what I want. And that's what they would do, what they did. So he says, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like them. For your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, isn't that powerful? He knows what you need before you ask him, but he invites us, I need you to ask me. Sometimes we are not very good sharing our needs. And we'd be like, did you pray about that? Oh, God already knows what's going on in my life. God already knows what I'm dealing with. God was there in the doctor's office when the doctor told me all this stuff. God was there when this happened in my house. God knows what's happening in my marriage. God knows what's happening with my health. He knows what's happening in my work. He already knows that. I agree. That's what the scripture says. Have you shared your heart with him? Because that's what Jesus is going to get after here. Are you sharing your heart with him? Because you're absolutely right. He does know. He knows absolutely everything. He has walked with you this entire week. He has been with you in the car. He has been with you at work. He has been with you at school. He has been with you every place that you have set your foot this week. Okay? That is undoubtedly clear. He knows everything that took place. And how little of that have we ever brought to prayer and just shared our hearts with him? Because that's what we are invited to do. We are invited to share our needs with our Heavenly Father. And that's what we're going to get after next week in Jesus' simple format of trying to get them to connect to him, to what is it like to pray. Uses a very simple prayer that we're going to be looking at. I invite you next week, make sure you bring your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, something to write in, a journal. If you'd rather do your Bible online, then bring something to write something down in. Okay, and I do mean a pen, okay? I don't mean type it into your phone, okay? I tried to go back and find a picture this week from like 10 years ago. Yeah, good luck, okay? Fortunately, somebody put it on Facebook at some point. I mean, right, that's it. Don't rely on the digital. I would just implore you, don't rely on the digital. I want you to go write something down next week. For this week, I want to probe this a little bit further, if I may. Why do you pray? Why do you pray? Do you pray because you're in trouble? God, please get me out of this. I will serve you in Africa the rest of my life. If you just get me out of this trouble, I'm in. Is that why you pray? Do you pray because you're in a hard place? Do you pray because you're hurting? Do you pray because of some other circumstance in your life? Or is it a regular routine in your life that you're praying to God and you're sharing some things with him? So I want to push on that a little bit today. This whole idea of when was the last time you shared your heart with God? When was that last time? I don't mean crying out to him because something happened. I mean, when was the last time you shared what was going on in the inside that nobody sees, that you've done a good job hiding, especially when you come to church? You've done a good job at masking over, hiding, making sure everything looks okay, making sure not even your spouse knows at time, oh, I got this all together, don't worry. When was the last time you shared that with God? In fact, let me give you some examples. Examples are your hopes, your dreams, and your fears. When's the last time? Yeah, but God already knows that stuff, right? We've already hit that scripture, okay? What have you shared with God as far as your hopes, your dreams, your fears, the things you're scared of, things you're absolutely scared of? When's the last time you say, God, I'm scared. I'm scared. I have this going on. I have disappointment. I have this pain happening. I have this tension in our house. I have this problem in our marriage. When's the last time you did that? Your hopes, your dreams, your fears are examples I would give you that are key opportunities to share your heart with God. A lot of people don't know that. You keep it inner on the things you hope end up happening, on the things you are really dreaming could happen, the things you're scared of right now, the things you're scared of might happen, your hopes, your dreams, your fears. How about your emotions? Your emotions. When's the last time you yelled at God? I know some of you are like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. I never got that memo, okay? I never found that. In fact, I found the exact opposite with David. Believe me, David is not surrounded by enemies and just quietly going, God, I need your help. Okay, he's not doing that. He's not. I understand. We don't have David here speaking, but a lot of times you'll see words emphasized and you'll see exclamation points. Okay, that's not him whispering. Okay, that's him yelling. It's him screaming, and he was used to this kind of a relationship with God, where he poured out whatever emotion it was that he was feeling. Are you angry? Anger is a good emotion to tell God. Hurt, good emotion to tell God. You're hurt. And that hurt's going to go to bitterness. Maybe it already has. That's a good thing to bring to God. That's a really good thing to say, this is already in there. It's already in there. It's already been in this inner part of me. Maybe you're just feeling depressed. You're just down. You're just down because of things happening. And right, and all you have to do is like flip on the news. Please don't do that because it won't help. And you're just down. When's the last time you told God that? Father, I'm down. I'm discouraged. I might even be working towards that area of being depressed. How about anxious? Anxiety reigns in our world. It reigns in our world, and it touches all of us as much as we like to think, it doesn't touch me. Yeah, it probably does, okay? When we get anxious, where anxiety comes in and just begins to rule our life, by the end of chapter 6, we're just going to run headlong into it, okay? Because Jesus is going to talk about the whole idea of worry there. And when's the last time you shared those emotions with your Heavenly Father? Let me give you an example from David. I cried out with all my heart, answer me, O Lord. There's an exclamation point. He's probably not speaking as I am right now. He is probably yelling. He is probably frustrated. This could have been a point in his life. You got to remember, he was on the run for several years trying to stay away from King Saul, who wanted to kill him to make sure that his son, Jonathan, took the throne and not David. And so he's on the run, okay? And he's hiding. And at times, you know, he is fearing for his very life. And he's sharing all of that with his Heavenly Father. He's sharing all of that with his Heavenly Father. In fact, that's what I want to give you time to do this morning, is to share your heart with God. You tell anybody else? It's your time to share it. Because ultimately, here's what I want you to know. Never miss the invitation of the King to share your heart with him. Do you understand? You understand what Jesus is doing here? In the midst of building the kingdom, he goes, oh yeah, I know. Your idea is the King is off in his own room and you can't approach him? No. That's not how my kingdom works. In my kingdom, the King wants to hear from you. The King wants to hear your heart. The King is interested in your life because the King died for you, rose on the third day for our salvation. The King did all of that, not to sit on a throne somewhere and say, good luck down there, but to intercede and to work in our lives. And he wants to hear our hearts. He wants to hear the issues we have. He wants to hear what's going on the inside, the part that we don't want to tell anybody, the part we're like, oh, I don't want anybody to know that. Okay, God already does, and I'm going to invite you that you share that with your Heavenly Father right now. So, I understand it's going to be quite a challenge. You can take any posture you want. For some of you who like to write things down, you might want to write things down that are your hopes, dreams, and fears as you're praying. Please take whatever posture you want. There's going to be 3 minutes on the screen. I know that's going to feel like an eternity to many because they're like, oh my goodness. Wow. Yeah. Hopes, dreams, fears. What emotions? Anger, bitterness, loss. I can't tell you. I don't know what's going on in the inner part of you. I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to make sure nobody else knows about. I don't know what you're trying to make sure you put on a good face and impression so nobody else knows what's really going on and how much pain and hurt you're really going through and what's happened in your life. So this will play for 3 minutes. It's got a song attached to it, and that's what I'd like you to do. So whatever posture you'd like to take, these 3 minutes are yours to take whatever's going on the inside of you. And this is the invitation of the King to say, just tell me all about it. So 3 minutes, that's what I'm going to invite you to do and share your heart with the King.